The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show live on the road, Chicago, the DNC. And Dominic, we are joined right away by a fine guest, John Fugelsang from the SiriusXM. You know him from the Sexy Liberal Tour.
Oh, God.
John, it's been a few years, but great to see you, man.
I'm really glad you guys are still willing to drag your broadcast down to this level. It's really fantastic.
It's our pleasure. We love to do it.
Some of you guys come here and you try to get newsworthy people or dignified people of note, and not the devil's out. You guys are willing to just roll in the gutter, and I'm so honored. Thank you, John, for your low standards in booking.
That really means a lot to me. That's the nicest thing I've ever heard.
Speaking of rolling in the gutter, how'd the Sexy Liberal Show Chicago with Stephanie Miller go, sir?
We've been doing this unholy tour for a few years, as you know. You gentlemen have been subjected to it in the past. We had a great show at the Vic Theater the other night. It was live streamed as a pay-per-view as well. The tour is me and Stephanie and Hal Sparks and Frangela, and our guests the other night were Governor J.B. Pritzker showed up. That guy, his Chris Walken, whoa, that guy's hilarious. Now, J.B. Pritzker, Mark Hamill joined us, Chairman Jamie Harrison, nice. Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, and Jill Winebanks. Those were the special guests for our show the other night, and it was a riot. The crowd was great. We've been doing this tour for like 13 years, but this year it's been crazy. And for all these dates, it's been the, hey, let's go out there and win it for the old guy tour. Let's get excited for the old guy. We're going to do it. Win this for Joe. And then we had the Sexy Liberal talking each other off a ledge tour for a couple of weeks.
Right.
And now it's the Sexy Liberal, holy crap, what drugs have you people taken that made you this happy, and where can I buy some? It's been exuberant. When we first went up in Atlanta right after the great switch, I couldn't believe the crowd response, and you guys have beheld it, and every show we've done, we were in New York and did a show, and it was just crazy and joyful, and people who are excited about the ticket, and you know, Joe Biden deserved better. We don't deserve Joe Biden. This old man was not my first choice, but the most legislatively accomplished president of my lifetime. I hate the ageism. Mick Jagger's 80, Keith Richards is 80, Harrison Ford's 80. Martin Scorsese, Robert De Niro, Carole King.
Hey, it's easy to be young. It's not easy to be old.
Well, I'm like, I got no problem. Look how much this guy's gotten done. Look at what this old man has done with the PACT Act and the CHIPS Act and the lowest childhood poverty rate and the lowest unemployment in 50 years. And weed is decriminalized at the federal level. Cannabis has moved to Schedule 3. Infrastructure, the Inflation Reduction Act. You can buy hearing aids over the counter now. I'm like, holy crap. Let's get a 100-year-old president, see how much he can get done.
Yeah, but Donald Trump is way better looking than Kamala Harris.
Oh, so much better looking. I have to agree with that because I'm a blindly obedient homoerotic stooge. So at some point, it's amazing how the homophobes just really like it both ways, isn't it?
yes,
blindly slobbering goober obedience of unmanly subservience. It just, at some point, it's got to be embarrassing, right? Like they hated us so much because we told the truth about Bush and Cheney. We warned them about Bush and Cheney, and they hated us. They hated us. And then we were proven right about Bush and Cheney. And they hated us even more. And then Man Baby comes along in 2015. And Man Baby tells him, Bush and Cheney lied to you. The Iraq was a racket. Blah, blah, blah. Like, you're right. You're right. And now, three RNCs in a row, and the only other living ex-Republican president is persona non grata again. And they cut Bush and Cheney loose because they're a fickle party. And one guy, man baby, shows up and tells them, and they dropped it. They didn't apologize to us. Now they agreed with us. We're the warmongers.
Yes.
Because
yes.
They're blaming Joe Biden for what Putin does and what Netanyahu
Why
does.
Why were they listening to you then?
But that's the whole thing, right? You look at Elon Musk. He says, I'm going to give Trump $45 million a month. Then he changes his mind 2 days later. A cult of fickle bitches just fickled their bitch. Gentlemen, in 10 years, these Philistines are going to deny they ever supported Trump. They'll say, well, I went for him the first time in 16, but I was done after that. They're going to deny they ever supported supported this guy in 10 years.
Hope you're right.
Oh, they will. Trust me. They don't believe in anything. They need a ruler, and they will cut him loose. If he wore a Black Lives Matter t-shirt, they'd all leave him right away.
Folks, you're listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. We got fine guest John Fugelsang from the SiriusXM, most recently off the Sexy Liberal Tour right here in Chicago, and we find ourselves at the DNC. But Kamala's not going to be here today, John. She's in Milwaukee making our life very, very difficult.
I know. You got to settle for the Obamas and Bernie Sanders tonight.
I don't know how we're going to get through.
I hope that's going to be enough for you.
Well, couldn't we simulcast? Couldn't we do it both? And I think there is probably going to be some technological effort.
Hey,
we know
look,
it's always hard to travel.
Let me
tech.
Put it this way, okay? If Kamala Harris is giving a speech and it's not being broadcast, at least it'll feel like we're on CNN. So look at it that way.
John, any takeaways so far? Only one day into this extravaganza, but the press relative to, let's say, Cleveland, we're at the RNC in Cleveland, this would have been in a parking garage. That's what they did to like radio and non-networks
really?
In Cleveland. We were in a
when
bar.
When was it in Cleveland?
2016 Republican.
Right,
now,
right.
The Philly was a good time. We were on Radio Row there.
In 2016, yeah.
In 2016.
Yeah.
No conventions to attend in 2020, but the difference in tone, even the Hillary convention, I mean, the Dems party, John, the Republicans, they're sour. The only thing working is Grindr.
Well, the Republicans are angry.
The
Republicans are very angry. You have to understand something. You have to have a little compassion because, you see, they own this country.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it belongs to them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, their ancestors built it with their own hands. And who are these swarthy types? These academics, these non-whites, these non-Christians, these gay people thinking they can love who they want in a society that brags about liberty. Who are these union types and these immigrants and these educated people and these women's who be thinking too much? Who are these people that are violating the America we were promised we would inherit, that we owned, that our parents owned? And as our white heterosexual, I don't like calling them Christian. They're Christian, but they're not Christ followers, if you know what I mean. There's Christ followers, and there's Jesus Club, and they're in the Jesus Club, and Jesus would not be welcome in Jesus Club. They're becoming smaller and smaller, and as they become less of the majority, and in 2045, people as pasty as me will no longer be the majority population in this country.
Does that scare you, John? Because it doesn't scare me.
They're not going to go gracefully. What scares me is the white people who are not going to go gracefully because they think they own this country. They're the ones flipping out. They're already doing it. What do you think these bigots are panicking about this hideous great replacement theory? I mean, whatever they can do, they are just trying to keep America as white as they can. The reason why Christianity has declined is not because people don't like God or don't like Jesus or don't like the scriptures. It's because of the hypocrisy of these fascist, flock-fleecing Pharisee frauds. Right-wing Christianity that has taken the teachings of love, the teachings of empathy, the teachings of forgiveness, and they have turned it into a cult, and they got the followers of Jesus to vote against everything Jesus ever talked about.
And they wear that
by
hat.
Talking about abortion, which Jesus never talked about.
They have the mega hat. Isn't that the Antichrist? I mean, I'm the non-believer, man. And so I certainly am tuned into the hypocrisy, John.
Well, Antichrist is all rubbish. These people go for Book of Revelation because Jesus' inconveniently liberal teachings are unpleasant to read. So you will never hear, and I'm saying this to your very attractive listeners, you will never hear MAGA people or right-wing people quoting Jesus. They'll quote parts of the Old Testament. They'll quote St. Paul. They'll quote Book of Revelation. They'll quote Left Behind books and think it's Jesus. They don't quote Jesus because they don't follow him. They hate his teachings. They're not Christian. Jesus says in the Judgment of Nations, Matthew 25, what he's going to judge people on, and it's not by how mean you were to trans kids. It's not by how much money you gave or how often you went to church. Jesus judges people on how they took care of the poor, took care of the sick, how much they welcome
the immigrants,
welcome the sick, and how they took care of the welcome the stranger, and how they took care of people in prison. That's it. Republicans reject Jesus' marching orders. You don't need to believe in any of this to use it against these frauds and remind them that Jesus is a prop for them, nothing more.
John Fugel saying, our fine guest.
These are the, by the way, I do this at children's parties, this exact set.
Yeah.
This is what I
weddings, bar mitzvahs.
It's clean. I promise it's clean comedy. It's all ranting about fascists.
Trump, not always clean. He is doing a little set in Howell, Michigan, a campaign stop today. And I find it interesting because the Nazis were marching through Howell, Michigan like 3 weeks ago, chanting, we love Hitler, we love Trump. And I even saw the...
Where did Ronald Reagan announce his 1980 campaign?
Well, it was in like Philadelphia, Mississippi,
wasn't
it?
That's correct. Exactly right. The folks who get it get
this
it.
This is a tip of the cap to the white nationalists, is it
yes.
not, John?
Yes.
And I know Fox News trying to cover for him. Their response was, well, Biden went to Howell, Michigan in 2021 to, you know, talk about Build Back Better. And I'm like, yeah, but not 3 weeks after the Nazis were there.
Yeah.
John, do you think this is really a... Do you think... You know, am I reading too much?
Is it as obvious as it seems in your opinion?
Yes, it's all code talk. I mean, look, Donald Trump can come out and say he renounces Project 2025. But until the media takes the time to ask him which specific parts of it he renounces, he's just renouncing the name. What's in it, he has not refuted. What's in it is what he's fighting for. What's in it is what his hapless followers are fighting for. They don't realize it. That and tax cuts for rich people. You know, and it's funny that he's in Michigan because you look at Man Baby, he has nothing to offer union labor, because he hates unions. He's an oligarch. He's an aristocrat. He's a millionaire at birth. He hates organized labor. Hates it. That's why he had undocumented illegals build his hideous tower on Fifth Avenue. Only person in this race, by the way, who's hired undocumented workers in two different centuries to avoid paying a living wage to American workers. Democrats, you're allowed to make that point.
Please do.
They won't, but he's in Michigan, and he's been demonizing electric vehicles all year because he has nothing to offer unions. He's a scab. He talks to scab members and tries to make people think it's a... So he's slamming EVs. Then Elon says, I'm going to give you a lot of money. And now Donald Trump is okay with EVs because he is a whore who believes in nothing and is advertising that he is for sale.
John Fugel saying, our fine guest, thank you for joining us here at the table at the
DNC. Thank you. That's usually the line where they ask me to leave. But I'll be here all week, folks.
John, you've got the evening shift, much like we do on WCPT
that's
tonight.
Right.
How can people listen to Sirius
and
hear you tonight?
Live on SiriusXM Progress, channel 127. If you don't have that, our free podcast comes out the next day with the highlights. And I'm up in the Sky booth doing a hockey game play-by-play with this thing. So
nice.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You,
it's
John.
Good to see you.
Peace.
Great to see you. We've got another fine guest joining us here at the table momentarily. Paige Gardner, president, founder of PSG Consulting. New polling out. We'll tell you all about it.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show live from the DNC in Chicago. I want to thank our most recent guest, Alfonso Davis from the Global Black Economic Forum. Really appreciate him coming by. We love it when you come by. You can join us here on the lines as well, 844-967-2789. Follow us on Twitter at Devil Radio. And on Facebook at the Devil's Advocates Radio. Creed, I get the feeling you want to change the name, man.
Just thought I would inquire. Just having a little fun with the guests. Got to entertain myself sometimes. You know who is entertaining Tim Walz? The governor, the coach. He was quite entertaining last night. Now, I had seen most of his material. I did see him the day after they rolled him out. Watched the Philadelphia rally, and then he came to Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I was at that rally. So we're familiar with some of the one-liners, some of the material. You know, if you got some winning jokes, you use them over and over again.
Right. That's why I love a new audience. They laugh at the same old jokes.
One of the moments or the special moments that came out of last night's thing, as Walz was on the stage, he talked about his family. He talked about his wife, Gwen, his daughter, Hope, who... And son Gus, and said, they are the most important people in my life. And Gus, who is not neurotypical, Gus has ADHD, and maybe on the spectrum. I wasn't quite clear from all the reporting, but does have some diagnoses. And in many ways, Gus is a normal kid, but in some ways, he's got some limitations. But last night, as his dad was throwing him and the family love, Gus got up, and this kid got very emotional, and he said, "That's my dad." And he was crying. I mean, Gwen Walls, first time her husband came on the stage, she had tears of joy rolling down her face. And what has been shocking is the reaction of right-wing media to this otherwise very wholesome moment, this beautiful moment between a father and a son.
The love amongst the family.
I could only hope that one of my kids would look at me that way.
Right.
Once in my life.
Uh-huh.
Jay Weber, WISN, Milwaukee. Jay Weber is a morning host, if you're unfamiliar, with the righty-whitey host in the great state of Wisconsin. Well, Jay Weber took it upon himself to share a little video on the social media, and Jay had a few unkind words to say about the young man. What'd he say, Dom? What'd he post?
This is what Jay Weber, he's on WISN, as Crudy mentioned, in the Milwaukee market. This is the top-rated station in Milwaukee. They pulled a 13.
Number two-rated station in the nation.
And pulled a 13 share last month in Milwaukee. And this is apparently one of their big stars.
He has a very large audience. Jay Weber is the king of the mornings. He has the largest audience in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, he may have just lost a few. Here's what he had to say about that picture of Gus crying and being so proud of his father. Weber said, quote, "Sorry, but this is embarrassing for both father and son. If the Walls represent today's American man, this country is screwed. Meet my son, Gus. He's a blubbering bitch boy. His mother and I are very proud." Quote, unquote.
That was the post he put on the social medias last night. Now, Ann Coulter, you may know her, despicable human being, but Ann Coulter took a similar tone, maybe not quite as colorful, but this is how the right was casting this circumstance.
Coulter put it up, this is weird.
Well, you know, they're trying to play that theme.
Of course.
Labeling the Walls kid as weird, Gus as being weird for emotionally reacting to his dad. Now, pretty much everyone that was here and every social media post I've seen since has loved this moment. This was such a great moment between father and son, such a representative moment of the joy here at the DNC this week.
Yes.
So anyways, maybe Weber's getting a little pushback from his audience or others because he's got a little bit of a backpedal, a little flippy-floppy on this topic, Dom. But not really satisfactory apology, in my opinion, but what'd he say?
Here's what Weber said after he got the heat. Quote, "I didn't realize the kid was disabled and have taken the post down." He goes on to say he was getting, you know, even getting some pushback with that, you know, saying generally, how about just not, you know, mess with kids? And then his final quote here was, "I agree. In an ex-fever, I broke one of my own longstanding rules when I saw the video. I've said, the kids are off limits for decades, then fell into it myself. No excuses. Good reminder.
A little late for that, Jay. Little late for that. After you've attacked a 17-year-old disabled kid. Oh, I didn't know he was disabled.
So otherwise it would have been fine. I mean, there's so many levels of asinine attitude with this whole thing. So number one, crying with love and adoration for your family members. Oh, my God. I you know, perhaps if Jay experienced that kind of love, maybe Jay was lacking something in his own family. Maybe Jay doesn't have that kind of affection.
His
for family.
Daddy never hugged him.
He maybe needs a hug. I don't know what it is, but that is some despicable stuff. So hates the joy, hates the love. Apparently, he's very critical of it. And then backpedals to a degree. Like, so am I to assume, Jay, that if the kid wasn't quote unquote disabled, as you stated, it would have been fine to keep that kind of language to a 17-year-old man? Come on. What a disgrace.
Well, as you well know, my eldest son is on the spectrum. And my son, who now is a voting age, probably won't be pulling the trigger for Donald Trump. I'll just put it that way. He has been offended by the Trump campaign since all the way back when Trump mocked a disabled reporter from the New York Times. I don't remember. And Trump mocked a guy, right?
Yep.
Well, this whole party is about mocking the Republicans, man. What is to admire about a party that makes fun of a disabled 17-year-old kid? Even if he wasn't disabled, what kind of a party goes after somebody's kid? And Jay Weber claiming, oh, we leave the kids out of it, unless I make an exception. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates.
And the number one rated station in Wisconsin. Wow.
I don't know why his audience isn't listening to us. Maybe in the afternoons they turn over to us. We got to be pulling like a 30 share in our own minds. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocate, speaking to millions of Wisconsinites, at least theoretically. And we're going to play you Tim Walz's speech, at least the highlights thereof. We are the Devil's Advocates. We're live at the DNC Milwaukee. Almost did it again. It's been 3-4 days since I screwed up where we're at. Chicago, Illinois. At the United Center.
Thank you, Detroit.
DNC Day 4.
Too much time on my.
The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a happier, happy hour indeed, live from the DNC, the United Center in Chicago.
Good job, Dom.
We got a fine guest who's joining us at the table right now. He's the Attorney General of the great state of Wisconsin, our friend Josh Call. Welcome back, Josh.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, Josh. Good to see you,
man. Well, thanks for being patient and working us in. You know, you political sorts. What do you do here at a convention? I know it's your first, but what have you done here, Josh?
Yeah, well, it's been, first, it's been great. You know, there is incredible energy and enthusiasm among Democrats around the country. I knew there was in Wisconsin, and it's clear that it is around the country because of all the excitement behind the Harris-Walz ticket. But it's been great to connect with folks who, you know, I've seen some of my fellow AGs from around the country, a lot of folks from Wisconsin and other states. There's been a lot of discussion about policy issues. You know, last night we heard from some women from some states where access to abortion was being blocked and the impact it had on them. We've, of course, heard from a lot of candidates about their vision for the next administration and for the future. So it's a good opportunity to connect with people, to talk about issues, and to organize behind the Harris-Walz campaign.
Well, the attorney general job doesn't always get the same prominence as, let's say, a governor. But since Kamala Harris has been the new nominee, suddenly the AG is in vogue, is it not?
Well, you know, Bill Clinton is a former AG also. But
that was a long time ago, Josh.
I don't think he served very long as AG either. But, you know, first of all, I think one of the things that you've seen in this race is that her background as an AG and as a DA has played a key role in her success. She is litigating the case against Donald Trump, and it couldn't be a clearer contrast between the two of them. On top of that, you know, as an AG, I've had the opportunity to speak to a number of people who are themselves are former AGs who served with her. And for years, I've known that her colleagues hold her in the highest regard and think incredibly highly of her. And let's be honest, she did not always get the best press when she was vice president. Neither did Joe Biden, by the way. And it was always interesting to me that what I had heard from her colleagues and what I had seen in the interactions that I had had with her was so different from what was portrayed in the press. She was outgoing. She was engaging. She was engaged in issues substantively. And actually, just before the Dobbs decision came down overturning Roe, she brought several AGs around the country together, including me, to talk to us about what we were doing to prepare if Roe was overturned and how we could protect reproductive freedom in our states. She's somebody who was seeing where this was going and wanted to make sure she was available to help and to engage people. It turned out that was the day before the Dobbs decision was issued. And as you know, we lost access to safe and legal abortion in Wisconsin for 15 months. We fought back against that, and we've now restored it. But she was actually back in Wisconsin in August of 2022, working just in advance of the elections there. And she talked about that issue and how she had our back in that case. This is somebody who's been engaged. And what's been great over the last month is to see the whole country see her through the same lens that I had in the work that I've done and through conversations. She's a leader. She's ready to lead this country. She's running an outstanding campaign. And I think we're going to see this energy continue for the next 2.5 months.
Folks, we've got Josh Call, the fine attorney general, great state of Wisconsin here. Devil's Advocates live at the DNC. I think I first got to meet Kamala Harris. She was Senator Harris then. She came to Wisconsin in 2018, and maybe she campaigned for you, Tony Evers, and Tammy Baldwin, if I recall. But I got to meet her and interview her briefly, and I found her to be very intense. I had never interviewed someone that had that much intensity for a 3-minute interview. Personally, I think the characterizations I've seen on Fox News and right-wing talk radio are ludicrous. In no way is she anything other than this intense, intelligent human being. But what's your personal experience, Josh?
100% consistent with what you're saying. And I mentioned the example about how she brought folks together. I'll give you another example. I met with her on the tarmac several months ago, and there was an issue that was important to public safety in Wisconsin, which is that we're facing significant cuts in what's called VOCA funding, Victim of Crime Act funding. That provides a lot of the resources for victim service programs, programs that help people who are victims of domestic violence or sexual assault or other crimes get the support that they need as they work through the justice system or not, but getting the support that they need. So I raised that with her, and she immediately said, oh, yeah, I know about that program. I worked with it when I was AG. Well, I saw her about a month later at another tarmac meeting, and I'd wanted to follow up with her, but she was prepared. She had done some follow-up. She knew what was going on federally, wanted to talk about it, and made clear that she knew how important that issue was. It's another good example of her being on top of the issues. And I just to put this in perspective, I want you to imagine Donald Trump in that same situation. Now, there is no chance that Donald Trump knows that program exists. If he did, he certainly wouldn't be following up. He might be wondering how he could profit off of it, just based on how he approaches everything else. But this is somebody who is prepared to lead and who's got the experience that we need in the White House.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Josh Call, Wisconsin's Attorney General, joining us at the desk in Chicago at the DNC. Josh, thanks for making some time for us. The vice presidential candidate, J.D. Vance, is in Kenosha talking about crime. And I think this is something you know a little bit about, Josh. My understanding, if it wasn't for the actions of the president at the time, Donald Trump, Kenosha would be nothing more than a pile of smoldering ashes. Crime has been a topic of conversation pushed from the right. But my understanding, Josh, and how about you tell me, a lot of the crime statistics have gone down under this administration.
You know, it's a funny thing. When you get rid of chaos leading the country like we had under Donald Trump, it has a big impact. But first, let me say this. We talked a little bit about Kamala Harris's background before. This is somebody who was a DA in a major county prosecuting serious crimes. She was the AG of the largest state in the country, and she held people who committed mortgage fraud accountable and worked to recover resources. She is somebody who knows public safety issues. She's a former prosecutor. And then on the other hand, you had J.D. Vance in Milwaukee last Friday, and when he was talking about public safety, he suggested people watch the movie Gangs of New York. So on the one hand, you've got a former prosecutor, and on the other hand, you've got a ticket with one guy who's seen Gangs in New York and another guy who's seen Silence of the Lambs and can't stop talking about it. It's pretty obvious which ticket is better on public safety. But you don't just need to rely on that. Look at the statistics, as you said. When Donald Trump was president, shootings and homicides went up dramatically. Now, that was partly because of the pandemic. There's no question. But Donald Trump wasn't helping with the pandemic. And his budgets consistently attacked funding for public safety. Republicans right now are attacking funding for public safety in Congress. With Biden-Harris, we've seen a drop in shootings, a historic drop in homicides, and investment in public safety, often trying to battle with Republicans in Congress. And so, you know, having that kind of leadership with Biden-Harris has made a big difference. And then last, as I mentioned at the beginning, having leadership that's steady and consistent and reliable, that helps. Having somebody who is volatile and unpredictable and attacks the justice system and the Department of Justice and the FBI, whenever they do something that he doesn't like for political reasons, that's not good for the rule of law and it's not good for public safety.
Josh, election safety. We know that Donald Trump has, in fact, attacked the outcome of the last election. We know
and continues to do so.
We know there have been some charges filed, and I know you probably aren't going to, unless you would like to talk about an open investigation, Mr. Attorney General, but I assume no. But here's my question, sir. How do we protect the next election? Because every indication is he didn't learn anything. There's been no successful prosecution, no trial going to happen between now and Election Day. Josh, how do we, A, keep election workers, even Megan Wolf, safe in the state? And B, you know, what's the role of the Attorney General in making sure things go well from a non-chaotic point of view this fall?
Yeah, well, first, let's talk about Donald Trump. Donald Trump,
those investigations, if you'd like, Mr. Attorney General.
Let's focus on Donald Trump. So, you know, he said that an Emmy he didn't, and I forget if it was that he didn't get nominated or he didn't win, but he said that was rigged. You know, when he lost the Iowa caucus to Ted Cruz, he said that was rigged. He said the 2016 election was going to be rigged, and then he won it, and he still kept saying it was rigged. And then in 2020, he said it was rigged. So I think we know where this is headed with Donald Trump. But here's the good news. In 2020, there was a real concerted effort to overturn the results of our election. There was also a lot of concern before the election that there would be voter intimidation at the polls. So we made clear what the law is on voter intimidation, and it's a crime. We made clear that people are going to be held accountable if they tried to intimidate people, because that's our constitutional right we're talking about, and every voter who's eligible should be able to freely and fairly cast a ballot. We're also going to make clear as we head into this election that intimidating election officials, threatening election officials, can be a crime. And if people commit that crime, if they cross the line, they're going to be held accountable. Now, on the post-election, we're prepared for the attacks. We had an effort to overturn the results in 2020. There were several lawsuits filed. My administration defended against those suits, and we won every single case, just like cases across the country were won. If Donald Trump and his allies try to overturn the results again, or if anybody else does, but I think we know who's likely to be doing it, we're going to defend the results again, and I'm confident that the will of the voters will be upheld again, because the facts and the law are going to speak for themselves. And, you know, what's interesting is we have a lot of elections in Wisconsin. We don't just have presidential elections. We just had a primary. Nobody's going around saying the results can't be trusted or our system doesn't work. There were Republicans who lost primaries, because the reality is we all know the system works. If it's a few hundred vote difference, maybe you do a recount and you see if there's a small change. But fundamentally, the system works. And it's only when Donald Trump is on the scene that people are complaining. So if you hear Republicans saying the system doesn't work, where have they been for the last 4 years? Why haven't they been challenging
these
results?
Well, the system only works when they get elected and they win, even if it's the same election they're saying the president didn't win. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, they just got clobbered on a couple amendments, not challenging those results because those are the results that the voters voted for.
Are you sure there wasn't anything untoward in that Janelle Branchon race? Because she only lost by, like, 30 points.
Even Janelle Branchon, I don't think, has said that there was anything wrong in that race. She certainly said a lot about the Trump election.
I guess everything has been fixed then.
There you go.
Josh Call, the very fine Attorney General of the great state of Wisconsin, friend of ours. Josh, I hope you enjoy your Democratic convention right here in Chicago. Don't forget the Devil's Advocates. We'll be partying until late, sir.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, Josh.
More Devil's Advocates. We've got the president of the AFL-CIO joining us next. I hope you stick around.
I'm telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
The Devil's Advocates. Radio for nasty women everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, live from the DNC in Chicago. Check us out on the socials on Twitter at Devil Radio. And the finest branding on Facebook, the Devil's Advocates Radio.
Branding Democrats, Ken Weber, the author thereof. Thank you, Ken, for joining us. We got another fine guest here at the table. Working class hero Rick Smith, our buddy, and union labor, and also broadcast. Welcome back, Rick. How you been, man?
Hey, Rudy, Dom, good to see you guys.
Good to see you, man.
You've got the best seat in the house as far as radio productions.
You living right.
Right in front of the doors, that, man.
It's living right.
We're right in front of the back door. I mean,
there's a message there for you.
Yeah, I think there is. Uh-huh.
It's very consistent over time, Rick.
Rick, I've been watching you. We've been broadcasting the evenings around the corner over at WCPT, and you have had lots of big guests, man.
Yeah,
who are some of the big namers you've had?
Well, look, I'm a labor guy, so for me talking to all the labor leaders around the country, that's where my focus is. I want to know what they're doing, how they're mobilizing their members. And look, I've said for years that if you want a labor party in this country, the only way you get there is you take one of the two major parties over. And I think labor has done an amazing job of taking over the Democratic Party, because this convention, unlike others that I've been to in the past, labor is front and center, and it's not something that people are choking on. You know, I never bought Obama's, you know, labor speech. I met the man twice when he was a candidate, both times, shook my hand, said we're going to get the Employee Free Choice Act and something better, got nothing. Now, out of that, I did shake his hand twice, softest hands of any man I've ever met. And if I had hands that soft,
what about my hands,
I'd never leave the house. But, you know, the reality is, you know, labor has finally found their muscularity, and they're now pushing, saying, look, damn it, we need labor law reform. We need jobs that can be unionized. And I think the Biden administration, his legacy is going to be, we're going to rebuild the American dream, and you do that through organized labor. If you're going to reunite this country, you got to reunionize it.
Rick, UAW president, gave the endorsement for Harris and Walls here this week. The Teamsters, and there has not been a national endorsement. Obviously, O'Brien, the Teamsters president, spoke at the RNC, and we understand was not invited. Tried to invite himself. They said, no, thank you.
Teamsters were here. There were Teamsters on the stage.
Yes. And I guess that
was
my broader point.
It's just O'Brien wasn't here. So O'Brien is not the Teamsters.
Right.
The members are the Teamsters.
Yes, sir.
There were people here who benefited from the Biden saving our pensions. And I am eternally grateful for Joe Biden saving the pension that I'm going to get when I get to be older. And those people, those Teamsters on the stage, they benefited from what Joe Biden did. These conventions are about getting someone elected. These conventions aren't TED Talks. And my problem with Sean O'Brien going into the RNC is nobody is going to remember the things that he said.
Right.
Two-thirds of his speech, I am 125% on board with. It's my show every night. But nobody's going to remember that. They're going to remember that he was there. They're going to remember that he said, you know, that Donald Trump is one tough SOB with a backbone. He wants to hear other people's opinions. That's what they're going to be told, because that's going to be the commercial. And all people are going to remember is that there was a major labor leader in there, in that arena, normalizing the Trump record. And for those of us who remember 4 years ago, we remember how bad Donald Trump was for organized labor. We remember how bad his NLRB was for organized labor. Maybe Sean O'Brien doesn't remember, but we do. And the idea of him going into that place and saying that J.D. Vance is somebody he can work with, that Josh freaking Hawley is somebody he can work with, get them.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates. A very excited Rick Smith. Rick, our labor isn't uniform, right? There's lots of conservatives and Republicans in the labor movement. How do the membership, how do you think the Democratic Party is doing in reaching out to that membership and explaining to them why they you know, the labor should vote for the Democratic philosophy, the Democratic Party, with these Republicans? And,
look,
what do you think the Republicans that are in labor, why they remain Republicans?
I think a lot of my red hat friends have had the luxury of voting on secondary issues. They're not voting their job, because they think their union is, as they have always done, going to fight for them and get them the better wages, the better benefits, the health and
taking
retirement
it for
security.
Granted, perhaps.
Absolutely. Yeah. The reality is leadership is about what's doing in the best interest of the institution. Sean Fain's membership is not much different than the Teamsters membership. But Sean Fain is a leader. He's going to say, no, I'm not going to stick my finger in the wind to find which way the wind is blowing. I am going to lead us in the best direction that I think possible. And that is not back to the Trump years. That's not back to that's not forward to the Project 2025 years,
right,
which is talking about not unions, but suggestion box unions. You know, Mother May I unions, not unions who are going to demand anything or fight for anything.
Of course not. That's too much.
So for me, look at Project 2025, and that's their agenda. So for someone to go, well, I want to talk to both sides. I do, just not in that forum. I want to talk to Republicans who are going to be helpful, because maybe in their best interest, there is something we can work on. But they have shown us year after year, election after election, decade after freaking decade, that they hate organized labor. They hate working people. It's that simple.
What do you think of the Trump is a scab T-shirt?
I wish my union had one. It should come in every union color.
Rick Smith.
Because he is a scab. What's the definition of a scab? Guy who crossed a picket line. Donald Trump crossed a picket line. He's a scab. Do I got a minute?
You got about 1 minute left. Let him rip.
You never cross a man's picket line or a woman's. My grandfather, when I moved in with my grandparents, said, you don't go across the street and play with that kid over there. And I asked him years later why. He said, that guy crossed a picket line 50 years ago. They ostracized that guy for doing something back then. We need to rediscover that kind of solidarity.
Rick Smith, our buddy in union labor, our friend in broadcast. Rick, how can people find your fine show?
Well, obviously, we're on the Civic Media Network right here. Thank you for Civic Media for having us. The Rick Smith Show, obviously, go there. Follow us on Twitter, at Rick Smith Show, on all the socials. Grab the podcast where you get your favorite podcast, and Free Speech TV every day, 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
Rick Smith, our good friend,
thank you
so much. Come on back, the rest of you. We are live at the DNC Day 4. It's Kamala's Day 4.